Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Now, I know it's a familiar passage of Scripture to God's people and to most of those who are in the meeting tonight. But there are those in the meeting it may not be familiar to. And I pray tonight as we read and preach upon this portion of Scripture that the Lord will speak to your heart, especially if you're in the meeting and you're not saved, you're not a Christian. This message is for you. Therefore, I want you to listen very carefully to these words that are found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. The Lord Jesus Christ told this story when he walked upon this earth. It's not a parable, it's a story. So the people that we're going to read about in the story really existed. They really lived. And they're still living. They're still existing in eternity. My friend, let me ask you a question tonight, even before we read the Word of God. Where will you be 100 years from now? Where will you be 1,000 years from now? In eternity. Because you will be somewhere. If the Bible is true, and we believe the Bible is true. If the Bible is the Word of God, and we are sure that the Bible is the Word of God, you and I will be in existence somewhere in 100 years from now, in 1,000 years from now. And while our bodies may be in the grave, our immortal souls will be very much in existence. And we have the proof of that in this portion of Scripture that I'm going to read. This portion of Scripture that's familiar to many, but maybe not familiar to you. Therefore, I want you to read with me carefully these words. And I want you to keep in mind that it is a story that Jesus told when he walked upon this earth, and that all the characters really lived and are still in existence tonight. Verse 19, Luke 16. There was. Do you see that? The Lord Jesus Christ, as he comes to tell the story, he says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar, named Lazarus, which was laid at his gates full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the finger, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the revelation of thy precious word. And we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Oh God, we thank thee tonight that there is a heaven to gain. We thank thee that there is a place where the saints of God will dwell for all eternity and rest in perfect happiness with their Savior. But oh God, we're so conscious tonight that while there is a heaven to gain, there is a hell to shun. And oh God, we pray as we consider this passage of Scripture tonight again, that you would come and fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. And oh God, that you would help us only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. Fill us with thy gracious power, we pray thee. We pray for those here tonight who are still halting between two opinions. That even tonight, Lord, that this will be the night when they will make their peace with God and be saved for time and for eternity. O God, grant it, we pray thee, not for our glory, but for the glory and honour of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his precious name we ask it. Amen. Is there a hell? That's the question that people are asking today with any knowledge of the Bible at all. They want to know, is there a hell? Is there a place when men and women die that they go and are lost forever? Is there a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched? Is there a literal place where the soul and the body will suffer for all eternity? Is there a hell? Is there a hell? Is there a hell? Of course, the Jehovah Witnesses tell us that there is no hell. And the Mormons and the rest of the false cults tell us there is no hell. And even the modernistic preacher today tells us there is no hell. But is there a hell? Is there a hell? Is there a hell? Is there a place of eternal punishment for the Christ rejecter? Is there a place of doom and damnation for men and women who die in their sin? Is there a hell? Many today, of course, as we have said, do not believe in hell. But my friend, if there's no hell, there is no judgment to come. And if there's no judgment to come, then there is no such a thing as sin. And if there's no such a thing as sin, then the Bible is untrue. And if the Bible is untrue, then we might as well close the doors of the church, go home, and forget about religion and forget about the Bible. But is the Bible the Word of God? Is sin a reality? Is there a judgment to come? Is there a hell? Is there a hell? Is there a hell? If you're not saved in this meeting tonight, that is the question that you need to get an answer to. Because my friend, if there is a hell, and we're going to see tonight that there is, then you are going to spend all eternity in this place. that the Lord Jesus Christ described as hell. As we come to deal with this subject tonight, at the close of this gospel meeting, I want you to listen very carefully to what God's word has to say about hell. And my friend, if you're not converted tonight, I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will take the word and write it upon your heart and write it upon your soul. And my prayer is that even before this meeting goes out into eternity, that you will come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. First of all, I want you to notice the certainty of hell for the Christ rejecter. Look what it says in verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Now I have already said that this is a story that the Lord Jesus Christ told when he walked upon this scene of time. And in this story, the Lord Jesus tells of two men. One was rich and one was poor. One was saved and one was not. And of course, the rich man who ended up in hell, the Bible tells us that although he had all of life's prosperity, he did not know Christ as his Savior. He was a Christ rejecter. That's the reason why he went to hell. He did not go to hell because he was rich. He did not go to hell because he was prosperous. The reason why he ended up in the lake of fire was because he rejected Jesus Christ as his Savior. You see, that's the reason why men end up in a lost eternity. But we can see here from this passage of Scripture that when this rich man died, after he was buried, that he lifted up his eyes in hell. Look what it says at the end of verse 22. The rich man also died, and he was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. My friend, death is not the end. Many people believe that once you die, that's the end. You stop existing. But here we have the Lord Jesus telling a story about two men, one of which died and went to a lost eternity. And once he died, it wasn't the end of his existence. Indeed, the Bible tells us here that he lifted up his eyes in hell. In other words, his immortal soul went to a lost eternity. The Bible clearly teaches, not only in Luke chapter 16, but in many other portions of Scripture, that hell is a reality for all those who die without the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Indeed, at least 56 times the Bible says that there is a hell. And you cannot change the reality of this fact. Hell is a fact. And of course we all know what a fact is. A fact is something that cannot be denied. A fact is something that cannot be disputed. You're in this meeting tonight. That's a fact. Very soon this meeting will be over and you'll go out of the church and get into your car and go home. That is a fact. And hell is a fact. And the Word of God clearly teaches that hell is a fact. And we have before us in this solemn portion of Scripture tonight a true story that the Son of God told when he walked upon this earth. And the Lord Jesus, as he tells this story, reveals to us that this rich man who died and who was buried went to hell. My friend, I'm sure that you have stood around a graveside many times. It's a solemn place, isn't it? Many times when I'm taking a funeral service and look around the congregation as they stand around an open grave, I often think to myself, how many of these people that are standing here really believe that there's life after death? The reality is, of course, that many times when you're standing around that open grave, the man or the woman, the person in the coffin, is in a lost eternity. But no one wants to think about that solemn truth. And yet it is a solemn truth. Everyone does not go to heaven. Indeed, the only ones that go to heaven are those who are saved by the grace of God. Are you saved by the grace of God tonight? Are you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ alone as your own and personal Savior? Thank God if you are. Then, when your time comes to die, when your time comes to be put into the coffin, when your coffin is lowered into the grave, then it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But if you die unprepared and unsaved like this rich man in Luke chapter 16, then you will lift up your eyes in hell. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ here is seeking to teach from this passage of Scripture. And my friend, it's imperative that you read this passage of Scripture, that you study the Bible, that you find out what the Scriptures teach about hell and about eternity and about judgment to come and about dying without Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. It's imperative that you study into these things, that you search into these matters. Because sooner or later, you will die. And sooner or later, someone will be standing around your coffin and around your grave. And it'll not matter what the preacher or the minister says. There's one thing for sure. If your soul is in hell, he'll not put your soul in heaven. And he may pray about the sure and certain hope of the resurrection unto eternal life. But no prayer of any minister will put you in heaven if your soul is in hell. Make sure that you're ready, because there is a hell for every Christ rejecter. And it's a fact, and it's a fact of the Bible, and it's a fact that the Lord Jesus Christ taught when he walked upon this earth. You know, people used to believe that the world was flat. And they used to believe that if you walked too far in the one direction, that you would fall off the end of the world. And you know, we laugh at that today because we are so educated. We know that the world is round. And of course, the world was always round. Even when men and women believed thousands of years ago that the world was flat. And of course, in the year 1522, a man by the name of Ferdinand Magellan, he sailed in a ship, and his ship traveled right round the world. Now, he didn't make it. He died during the journey. But his ship and the sailors in his ship sailed right round the world, and they proved that the world was round. If they'd only read their Bible, they would have known that the world was round, because the Bible teaches clearly in the Old Testament that the world is round. But people used to believe that the world was flat. Did that change the fact that the world was anything but round? Of course it didn't. The world was always round. And my friend, just because you and others will not believe that there's a hell, and just because you and others will not believe that God will cast men into hell, that does not mean that it will not happen. And that does not mean that there's not a hell. Because the Word of God teaches clearly that there is wrath to come, and that there is a place of torment and pain. Indeed, that's the second thing I want you to notice here. Take a look at this story again in Luke 16. And I hope that you have a Bible open before you. Because not only do we see here the certainty of hell for the Christ rejecter, but we see here the character of hell. What is hell like? Well, you'll notice in verse 23 that hell is a place of pain and torment. It says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Hell is a place where the soul is tormented. You'll notice in verse 25 that hell is a place of memory and remorse. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Hell is a place of memory and remorse. You will have a memory in hell. And in hell, you will remember your life upon this earth. And for all eternity, you will remember the opportunities that God gave you to get saved. You'll remember the opportunities that God gave you to make your peace with Him. Every gospel meeting you were ever in. Every gospel tract you ever received. Every time the Lord came and spoke to you in gospel meetings. You'll remember. You'll remember reading the Bible. You'll remember the preacher exhorting you to get saved and flee from the wrath to come. You will remember. Because God will give you a perfect memory in hell. You know, we forget so quickly. And no doubt by this time next week, or even before it, you will have forgotten about this message. And you will have forgotten about the subject that we're dealing with tonight. And perhaps you will seek to blot it out of your mind the rest of your life. And that's what sinners do. And I believe that's what you're doing. You seek to put to the back of your mind or completely out of your mind the things of God. And certainly a subject like this, you don't want to think about it. But listen, friend, when you die like the rich man and you end up in a lost eternity, you will remember. And that will torment you for all eternity. And that's what's happening here. In the story of the rich man, you see, there's something I want to point out to you. And it's very solemn as you're gathered here tonight in this gospel service. This rich man that we read about in Luke 16, he's still in hell. He's still being tormented. He's still remembering his past life upon this earth. And he's still remembering the opportunities that God gave him to get saved and to get right with God. But for him, it's too late. It's too late. Oh, hell is a place of pain and torment. Hell is a place of memory and remorse. Hell is a place where prayers are never answered. Look with me at verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. The rich man had a request, and his request was that Abraham would send a preacher, someone, send Lazarus indeed, to his father's house, and warn them to flee from the wrath which was to come. Some of the greatest believers are found in hell. But his request was not granted. Look what it says there. In verse 29, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. My friend, there are those in hell tonight. And they don't want you to follow them. They don't want you to be in hell. And if you could hear their message, you could hear their prayer, you could hear their cry, if you could hear their request would be, don't come into this awful place. Don't end up in this place of torment, this place of pain. Oh, hell's a place where prayers are never answered, and hell's a place where both the soul and the body will suffer. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10 verse 28. Fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Here we have the character of hell. Hell is a place of death and destruction. Hell is a place where every sinner without Christ will go and they will spend eternity therein. Oh, my friend, I wonder tonight as we are gathered in this gospel meeting, have you ever seriously considered these things? I believe that there are those here tonight and you have seriously considered these matters. That's why you come to church week by week. That's why you come to these gospel meetings, Sabbath night after Sabbath night, because deep down in your heart, you know that you need to be saved and you need to make your peace with God. Oh, my friend, would you not make your peace with God tonight? Would you not turn from your sin and seek the Lord and find eternal redemption? The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And thank God tonight if you would repent and turn by faith and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer, then you could leave this place on your way to heaven, knowing that you're saved for all eternity. The character of hell and the certainty of hell. Where is hell? Do you ever think about that? I believe personally that hell is at the very center of this earth. Now, the reason I believe that is because every time you read about hell in the Bible, you read about going down to hell. It's not right. You never read about going up to hell. You read about going up to heaven. But you always read about going down to hell. We read, hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. And of course, when the devil and his angels were cast out of heaven, they were cast down to the sides of the pit. And where were they cast down to? They were cast onto this earth. And this earth where we are living now is the sides of the pit. And of course, if you're familiar with Numbers chapter 16, you will know there that Korah and his company, when God judged them, that the ground opened up and they went down alive into the pit. And then, of course, in this passage of Scripture in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, we read in verse 23 that the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. So he went down. Oh, I believe there's a place in the very center of this earth that is housing all the lost souls of men and women who died without Christ. But let me say this evening, whether hell is in the center of this earth or somewhere else, there's one thing for sure, that the Bible teaches us clearly that this place has to be shunned. You have to flee from this place. And the only way whereby the sinner can flee from this awful place is by coming and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. You see, Christ is the only one who can save you and me from hell. But thank God, the Lord Jesus died upon the cross, and that's the reason why the Savior laid down his life on Golgotha's brow. He died the just for the unjust, so that he might deliver us from the wrath to come. Oh, come with me, visit Calvary, where my Redeemer died. His blood it fills the fountain, 'tis full, 'tis deep, 'tis wide. And thank God, because of the precious blood that he shed upon the cross, because of the sacrifice that he made, thank God, sinners can be saved and they can be delivered from the judgment that is to come. They can be delivered from hell. That's the reason why you can be saved this evening. Because the Lord Jesus became the sinner's substitute. He became the sinner's Savior. He died in our room and in our stead. And thank God, because of that sacrifice that he made, there's a way of escape. You see, there's no reason for anyone in this meeting tonight to be lost in hell forever. Why? Because the Son of God has laid down his life and shed his precious blood in order to save men and women from this awful place. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The Bible tells us that he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And thank God, when the Lord Jesus cried, "It is finished," man's redemption was accomplished. And on that middle tree, the Lord Jesus paid the price and bore our hell in his own body upon the cross. Because of what he has done. Not only because he has died, but because he has risen again. Thank God, because he lives, you can live also. Oh, my friend, there's a way of escape. There's a way of escape. And the way of escape is found at the cross. At the cross. But there's no other way of escape. There's no other means of escaping this awful place called hell. Notice something else. Take a look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 16 again. And you will notice not only the certainty of hell for the Christ rejecter and the character of hell, but you will notice the calamity of hell. We've already made mention of it, but let us emphasize it. What is the calamity of this awful place? Well, we have that in verse 26. It says, and besides all this pain and torment, besides all this suffering, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. My, the calamity of hell is that there's no getting out of this place. Once a soul is lost in hell, they're lost there for all eternity. My, what a solemn thought that is. If this torment would only last for a few hundred years or for a few thousand years, well, there would be light at the end of the tunnel. You would know that the torment was coming to an end. You would know that very soon you would be delivered from this awful place. But my friend, the calamity of hell is this, that hell is forever and forever and forever and forever. As long as God exists, you will be lost in this awful place. It's eternal. The Bible describes the punishment of the Christ rejecter as eternal, as everlasting. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ taught when he walked upon this scene of time. That's what the apostles preached. That's what the prophets declared. That's what God in his holy word says. And God's word is true. God's word is true. Oh, I wonder tonight at the close of this another gospel service, my friend, would you not think seriously about these matters? Maybe you're saying to me this evening, well, Mr. Gray, I believe the Bible, and I know that there's a heaven to gain, and I know that there's a hell to shun. But I just don't want to get saved tonight. I don't want to get saved just now. I want to live my life a wee bit longer before I become a Christian. Oh, my friend, that's a very foolish decision. Because the Bible says we're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. How can you believe in hell and go one more day in your sin, knowing that if you died in that day, you'd be plunged out into outer darkness? How can you, if you believe in hell, go one more hour in your sin, knowing that if you died in that hour, you'd be lost forever? My friend, how can you, if you believe in hell, go one more minute without being saved? Do you really believe in hell? I remember talking to a man a number of years ago now about his soul. And I explained to him that he needed to be saved, and I showed him from God's word how he should be saved and how he could be saved. And of course I told him that if he died in his sin, that he would be lost in hell. And I'll never forget what the man said to me. He said this: I know that I'm going to hell. I know that I'm going to hell. But I'm not prepared to get saved just yet. That man's still not saved. And he sits under the sound of the gospel every week. Oh, my friend, do you realize the awful eternity to which you're heading? I say that lovingly and tenderly to you tonight. Do you realize that hell is real? If you believe it, then come to Christ tonight. And if you don't believe it, then start believing it. Listen, is the Bible the Word of God or is it not? We claim that we are Protestants. We claim that we are loyal. We claim that we believe this book from Genesis to Revelation. We would have nothing to do with the Church of Rome and popery. We would have nothing to do with the false cults. We would have nothing to do with false religion. And yet, there are Protestants tonight, in name only, but there are Protestants tonight, they say they believe this book, and yet, they reject the Savior of the book. Because they're still marching headlong to a Christless eternity. Oh, my friend, listen. Flee to Christ tonight. The Lord Jesus will save you and He will redeem you. The old beggar, you know, in Luke 16, he had nothing as far as material things were concerned. He was just an old beggar. But he had something that the rich man had not. He had Christ. And when he died, the Bible tells us that he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Carried to heaven. Carried to glory. Carried to rest. Eternal rest. Oh, what a contrast. What a contrast. Sinner, come to Christ tonight. As John the Baptist said, flee from the wrath to come. And trust the Savior this evening. Let us all pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee this evening. And we praise Thee for Thy presence with us tonight. O God, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for the revelation of Thy truth. We thank Thee, Lord, for the day when You spoke to our own hearts. And You revealed to us not only that we were a sinner, but that we were hell-bound. Oh God, it wasn't a very pleasant message to hear. But oh God, we're so thankful that we heard it. We're so thankful that some faithful preacher told us our need and our spiritual condition and the hell to which we were heading. We're so thankful, Lord, for that faithful preacher tonight. Oh God, we're so thankful for that faithful Sabbath school teacher, for that faithful Bible class leader. We're so thankful, Lord, for that faithful youth leader. We're so thankful, Lord, for that faithful Christian, for that faithful mother, that faithful father, that faithful grandfather, grandmother who told us that there was a hell and that we needed to be saved from it. We're so thankful, Lord. Oh God, I pray for those in this meeting. And what a privilege they have to be here. Oh God, don't leave them in their sin. But draw them right out after Yourself and save them for time and for eternity. Ere they die. And like the rich man, lift up their eyes in hell. I pray, Lord, that they'll flee to Christ. We thank Thee that there is a Savior, that there is an anchor, that there is one who has died and shed His precious blood to redeem souls from hell. We thank Thee, Lord, that that work is sufficient, that blood, His blood is sufficient to wash away every sin so that everyone here tonight can prepare for heaven and home. O God, draw sinners to Thyself. In Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen.